Well, they may not be able to, but if anyone could, I could figure out how. And with that, welcome to another episode of Ramblings of Chronic Underachievers with Mr. Perry and Mr. Chris.
It has been way too long since we've done this, and we've realized that we actually have a recording fright.
It depends who you ask. Some people might be like, it's going just great, because they haven't been hearing anything.
It's like, you guys stopped recording? Really? I didn't notice.
Well, so, the one friend of mine who said that she did listen to it hasn't said anything, which tells me that when she stopped receiving it on her iPod, because she was probably on iTunes, probably on auto update, that she just moved on to the next podcast. But just like we've talked about in the past, Perry, like, that people don't return phone calls. It's a throwaway society. People have the attention span. They used to have the attention span of a fly.
Did you say something?
Right. Now they have the attention span of a gnat.
Wow. That would be an upgrade for you.
It would be an upgrade for me?
Yes. I found that, but, it's funny. I was reading an article over the weekend. I was bored.
Dude, I get an upgrade?
Oh, man. An upgrade to be a gnat. An attention span of a gnat. Not physically, just mentally. I think actually gnats might have a bigger attention span than you. Because they'll like hover by you until you kill them. Or you'll drift off.
Tell me.
What?
Case in point.
Exactly.
So I'm reading an article the other day about how people are spending way too much time with their smartphone, iPhones thing, that they can't be at a table without whipping these things out and checking their emails and surfing and doing other bullshit.
See, they can't get it out of my pocket.
You see? So I immediately thought of you because I remember walking down the street with you one day and you almost got into a fight because you were just so involved with your iPhone. You bumped into this big guy.
Dude, that's
and he was going to kick the shit out of you.
That's when I was still drinking, because like, I bumped into him and then I gave him a look like, what's your problem?
Yeah, he could have handed your ass on a plate.
You know, and he could have been like, like you see in the cartoons, like literally rotating my neck 4 or 5 times until my head pops off.
Like take you and spin you around like a top and then punch you and make you fly away. That type of thing.
I'll pop your head like a zit.
I'm going to rip your head off and shit down your neck.
See, I was thinking about that. It's like there's all these trait things that when people think about it, like they think about a situation and it's like the same thing comes to mind, or the same phrase from a TV show comes to mind. And creativity is when a situation would arise in life where everybody would normally say the trite thing that you think of something else to do. Of course, as usual, Mr. Perry failed miserably at that key moment. But dude, the way
I tuned down like 3 minutes ago with this tirade, I'm sorry.
Dude, look at it this way. There's a few things that you got right in life. Not much.
Yeah, not much,
things.
But a few things.
I mean, it's like you managed to get married. I managed to clone yourself.
Yeah. But actually,
the marrying thing.
But you talk about trite and cliche things, probably.
She won't listen.
Talk about cliches. Who knows? If it's on auto update on her iPod, it might happen. It automatically updates when she hits the Wi-Fi button.
To err is human. To have a half an hour of completely useless airtime ear garbage is ramblings of chronic underachievers.
So does that make it divine or deformed?
Dude, it makes it deleted.
Deleted.
The last 3 episodes. Guys, just so you know, we tried to record 3 times, and much like Reggie Jackson striking out for the 40th time in a row when he's in a slump, this is our home run right here. But guys, we had a lot of swings and misses, and there was a few that Perry listened to it and he's like,
nah,
we can't release this because not even professionally it will personally embarrass us.
Well, it just turns out that despite how bad everyone thought our podcast was and the crap that we normally put out,
it was worse.
We actually put out worse than that.
Well, I think it was like after rehearsal.
We were just exhausted.
We were tired.
We went to Starbucks.
Coffee wasn't working. You were focusing on like some of the patrons.
There was definitely a focus issue. Definitely a distinct focus issue we might have here, because we're actually recording live outside of Chris's house.
In front of a tree.
We've got cars riding by. We've got a major road mere feet away with people parading back and forth. I mean, this is a side street.
Dude,
so
we actually have something to discuss, a couple of things. The first thing is that we both survived the earthquake. Now, my friend John, He actually felt shaking. Mike felt shaking.
Yeah, I felt
shaking.
There's
a building in Chinatown that apparently was, like, shook enough that they didn't want to let people back in. And I found out that Chinatown apparently is built on a landfill. So, in a reasonably sized earthquake in Manhattan, Chinatown collapse.
Well, I mean, these buildings have to be distinctly old, especially the downtown buildings. Because even my brother-in-law, it turned out that his building was actually took damage. And he's in the Wall Street area.
Really?
Yeah. No. He's in, maybe I'm wrong, Sheepshead Bay, maybe? I don't know.
But
who can keep track of these?
But just the idea that a structure in New York City is damaged because of an earthquake. Just, you know, they were the Californians were laughing at us, like, oh, yeah. You guys got a little tremor and you're all nervous.
Exactly.
It's like, guys, that's not even, that's like, we eat those for breakfast. And what the thing is, people were going inside. They're going outside, actually. Well, apparently, in an earthquake, the right thing is to stay inside.
Yeah, because there's more likely of debris than your building collapsing.
I mean, the only thing
most buildings built after a certain year are probably earthquake-proof. Even though in New York, earthquakes don't come every day, but
they are not Perry and Chris proof.
Nothing.
Nothing is.
Nothing is. That's like the only thing that is less. The only thing that would be more Perry and Chris proof would be something South Park proof.
South Park proof.
Okay, because South Park, they go after everything and anything, and they devastate everything in their path.
Really?
So if you could survive being wrung out by South Park, we're not that bad. We're not even Howard Stern bad.
We're not getting paid.
That's true. It's amazing how much we could do. Think about, oh my God, just to visualize what would happen to this podcast if we made money on it.
Would it be any better? No.
That's the sad part.
It would probably be worse, because it'd be like, now that we're getting paid, we can work even less harder than we are, which is pretty not very hard to start with.
I think we would get more self-conscious thinking that we'd have to earn the money, and then that would actually hinder our performance.
No, there's some things like fixing people's computers, or rendering personal services to someone, you know, or if I tell you, like, as my friend, you know, I'm going to definitely help you with something, and then I don't help you, which I've done that a few times. Have I done that? I think I did that once or twice.
You never say that.
You just give me
half-assed advice because I'm not paying you.
Or it's just like, or I'll tell you, instead of saying no, I don't want to do it, I love you as a friend, but I just don't want to do that. I'll say something like this. I'll say, you know, let me think about it. As it gets closer, we'll figure it out. Figure it out means, how can I possibly get out of it without, you know, without, like, hurting your feelings or looking like a friend who only shows up when I want to be there?
No, I found the key to getting you to work efficiently for free is to wave some kind of remote connection in your face around it.
What do you mean?
In other words, all I needed to, I could have asked you to do something for me and you wouldn't have questioned in a heartbeat if it turned out that I knew somebody who knew somebody that might be a lead for more paid business.
Dude, actually, you know, you'd be surprised, man. It's like, as my business it hasn't really crashed again, but, you know, the economy is soft, so it hasn't really been, there hasn't really been that many new customers, or actually any new customers in the last 6 months. But
boring.
I guess I'm just trying to refute what you're saying.
I'm busting your hump. Anyway,
the fly is busting your hump.
That's true. It could be worse.
We're Greenwich Village, dude. Where so many things can be seen and so many things can be heard. Nice
shoes. Like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we actually started before we got this. We were discussing.
Oh, we got that on tape. Yeah.
Yes, we did. Since this is not
those were really nice shoes.
Those were awesome shoes. Those were like 4-inch heels.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take a help into that.
You know, we were arguing the difference between flats and heels before we started recording. And
hey,
we
little
also
doggy.
Have a little doggy.
Hi, doggy.
Hi, doggy. Give us a bark for the podcast.
We're recording the podcast, and now your dog can bark for us.
It's the only proof we'll have that there was a dog.
Nice dog. Okay. Well, the laugh is sort of part of it. Or, dude, was she laughing with us or at us?
Well, considering she might not even know what a podcast is, as far as she's concerned, we're talking with a laptop in front of us.
It was a nervous laugh. It's like, I've seen guys do like this before. There was a guy who tried to pick me up who did that last month. I know what you guys are up to.
That's
you can't fool me.
And here is my can of mace. And here's the restraining order.
Right, right. It's like, these days what you do is like, you pre...
Uh-oh. Good time to save this thing.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break because I'm getting a phone call.
And we're back.
Sort of. I had to take a call from a customer support situation, which we're not going to talk about on the podcast because
it doesn't apply.
No, that's not why. It's because it's utterly boring. And anyone listening to this could not possibly have any interest in it whatsoever. What would they be more interested in is flats versus heels.
Exactly. So before we got the laptop and decided to start recording, there was a particular woman who walked by. And, you know, yes, I'm married, and my wife knows that I love her very much. But for the sake of this conversation, we'll say that I did actually, in fact, check out this girl out. And we noticed that had this woman been wearing flats as opposed to heels, it would not have been as visually enticing a package as if she was wearing flats.
Well, heels,
is that a good way to describe
it? Because heels raise the hindquarters of the said female.
It extenuates.
And simultaneously create a pleasing jiggle that that the male responds to.
So you inferred that it is... that we are bred. This is human nature to be instantly attracted to her because she was wearing heels.
I didn't say that. I just said that our built-in sexual desires, that I'm certain that part of it is just intrinsic and genetically created, and then part of it is genetically modified when some people get surgery, and then part of it is emotionally modified by humans that there's this fixation on.
That's not what you said.
That's what I meant.
You were trying to sell me this bullshit about lions.
Dude, have I ever tried to sell you a bill of goods that was completely worthless and had no value whatsoever, intrinsic or otherwise?
You know something, in that respect, you're right. Who am I kidding?
Exactly.
Everything you say is intrinsically worthless.
Intrinsically worthless. The intrinsic value of this conversation.
It's like the stuff you say is worthless before it even leaves your mouth.
Yeah, my feelings are hurt.
Sorry.
He doesn't care.
You've obviously mistaken me for someone who gives a shit.
You've obviously mistaken me for somebody who gives a shit. Then pass the beer. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, you can't say that.
I can actually talk. You know what? I talk about my desire to drink many times.
Oh, I had some excellent beer and I can't even talk about it.
You can talk about it. It's like, see, Perry is afraid, guys, because I am in the fellowship of AA, that Perry is afraid that if he mentions or talks about alcohol, wait, I'll be right back. I have to go get a drink. Dude, I'm not going to drink. Please. Cracker, please.
Cracker?
You're a cracker, dude.
But you're honky too.
Honky? I love that, man. You know, if someone came up and said, you know, look, there's two honkies sitting together there having a good time.
What's a cracker moment?
What's a cracker moment, or what's the difference between a cracker and a honky?
No, it's a cracker moment. In other words, it's the end moment. You know what I'm talking about?
A cracker moment is... Well, a cracker moment, when people say, like, there's a honky, there's a cracker, what they're really talking about is there is something that is, like, in, you know, that a Caucasian person would say. There is something that it's like, okay, you got, you know, that just goes with that particular culture. I don't think I'm going to tell you. You know, man, do you ever notice, like, with cell phones, this changes the subject simultaneously and immediately? Have you ever noticed that, like, if you have a cell phone long enough... You'll hear it ringing when it's not ringing. Mm-hmm. Or if it's on vibrate, you'll feel yourself
vibrate.
There's
phantom vibrations. There are phantom vibrations. When the pagers first came out, even Scott Adams, the guy who writes Dilbert, did a joke about
vibrations.
That. He says, you know, Dilbert goes and he complains that he feels a vibration, you know, on his side. And they said, yes, that's phantom paging. There is no cure.
Paging, there is.
It's like you're forever. Your body gets so used to feeling this vibration that now it just vibrates on its own. Kind of the same way you have a phantom limb. You chop off your arm, and you still feel. It's like you feel like you still get an itch, you know, and your arm's not even there. Not that I've experienced it firsthand. I fortunately have never had anything physically removed from my body to that extent outside of my tonsils.
There's just certain things in your mind that were never there to start with.
That's true.
And mine too. That's why we get along so well. Because we're both gently retarded.
No, we have mild retardation. We are not retarded. Always make the person before the ailment.
All right.
The person is a person, regardless of their shortcomings.
And I don't mean any. I don't mean
or sideways comings.
And I don't mean it to be disparaging to any people who may suffer from mental disease, such as me.
You see, that's the thing. You keep copping this thing that you suffer from mental disease.
Dude, I do have an illness.
You really wish that was an excuse. The fact is, you don't have that. You have nothing. You're just fucked up.
Dude, you're always calling me retarded.
No. I always say you have retardation.
Right. But it implies like either low or lacking or misaligned brain functions in some way. I mean, that implies that.
I have never actually called you retarded.
Dude, that's actually true.
I said you've done retarded things, but I've never actually specifically called you that.
That's just for shits and giggles and for those who may be
shits
listening.
Shits and giggles. What the fuck is a shit and a giggle?
I don't know. This is what I heard someone else say.
Is that like dollars to donuts?
Can you... What's like, you know, one of my more retarded moments? One of my more silly moments that you could remember? I'm hoping that most of them have faded and you can't actually remember.
Well, you see, for me to remember these things implies that I was paying attention to you at the time. I'm gonna pass on this one.
Okay.
You know.
So, dude, what's up? It's been...
We got a gripe. We haven't done a griping session yet. I've got a lot to gripe about.
All right, this man sitting next to me, she has much to gripe and complain about. So now, the griping of the week, of the month, and of the quarter by Mr. P.
Okay, so, since last we spoke, I have gotten a part-time job back in corporate America. Yay!
Dude, look, that's what claps look like.
And the blonde across the thing, see, walking the dog, thanks for clapping.
All right, keep talking. I'm looking. Keep talking. Keep talking.
She looks like she's a good fit for you, dude. She's got a dog. She's dirty blonde. She looks like she's a little bit...
Dude, are you implying I'm a dirty dog?
I don't have to imply. It's stated.
Yeah, it is, actually.
I'll do the rambling while you go hit on her.
Okay.
Well, she's waiting for you. She's by the dog's peeing on the jersey plates.
Dude, if I walk over, the dog might pee on me.
The dog obviously has good taste. It's peeing on the car from Jersey. Worse yet, the car from Jersey has police plates.
All right. So what is hurting your itty-bitty feelings today, Mr. P? Who would you like to actually...
Anyway, I gotta give the background for the story to make sense. You gotta have context. I just can't do the gripe without context.
Or hand gestures.
The hand gestures are obvious, okay? Okay? Your job is to describe my hand gestures as I do them for the people at
home.
He's
whipping the hands out. They're going back. Okay. They're going in. They're going up.
Okay.
He's going. It's going back to the hands. It's going. Here it comes.
Come on, keep up.
It's gone. It's gone.
Okay. Sportscaster, you will not be. All right.
Anyway, I don't even like sports.
Neither do I. So anyway, getting back to the gripe at hand. Okay, so I got a part-time job, and if I work 3 days at said job, I will actually I will make more money than my full week benefit from unemployment. Which is fine. I could deal with that.
So you got to work 3 days or more.
But I have to work 3 days or more, and then I don't get a solid dime.
Two and a half doesn't do it. Two
actually,
doesn't do it.
Actually, 5 minutes will actually do it. 5 minutes over two might actually do it, but that's besides the point. But anyway, so now I've worked a week, and I go to certify my benefits, and it said, how many days did you work? Did you make more than your maximum benefit?
Okay.
So I said I worked 3 days, and yes, I made more than my maximum benefit. I think we're going to take a pause.
We're going to take a FedEx pause because there's a delivery coming in, then we'll be back. Now hold that thought, Mr. P.
Look precariously toward you. You got to hook.
Okay, that's actually... And we are back. We are back.
Okay,
folks.
Continuing the gripe section.
The gripe session with Mr.
So
B.
So I'm qualifying. I'm certifying my weekly benefits for unemployment. And, you know, it'll ask me, did you work more than, you know, how many days did you work? Did you make more than your entire benefit? So you answer yes. So, you know, at the end, you get a little message that says, you've exceeded your benefit, so you will not actually get a check from us this week. Fine, whatever. I could live with that. Okay? Because I'm not actually losing that money, per se. It's really a bank. Mm-hmm. So the money sits there until I go and collect it.
Okay.
So, any idea is that you never actually go and collect it.
Well, sometimes you collect.
And sometimes
you don't.
So...
anyway.
So I certify the following week, I go to certify again, and now I get this new screen, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? It says, were you self-employed in your last job? And I'm thinking to myself, don't they know this already?
It's a trick question, too, because if you're self-employed, you don't qualify for unemployment.
That's not true.
If you're self-employed, dude, I'm self-employed, and I would never qualify. Okay, I'm glad we're having this gripe. Explain to me how a self-employed person...
If you own a business, you're self-employed.
Dude, I own a business. I paid myself on a W-2. When I tried to collect, they tried to put me in jail.
No, you were trying to collect on a partnership in which you were an officer of the company.
If I owned the business, dude, I couldn't collect either. You can't collect...
I would have gotten a lawyer.
You can't... Well, you're not... Hello. Have a nice day.
Now imagine her heels.
Dude, is it really good to be like judging and making disparaging remarks about, you know, women on the podcast?
Probably not. That's okay, I'm gonna have to edit this shit anyway.
Dude, are you gonna actually edit this?
You're supposed to say edited.
No, we're gentlemen.
This one's gonna get edited because you already used my name twice.
I didn't use your last name.
Twice.
I did?
Twice.
Are you sure?
Twice.
Dude, is that going in the podcast too?
Twice.
Are you gonna edit that out?
No.
Good.
Sounds like a Muppet movie. Twice.
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 So anyway, you're not helping me out here. I'm trying to get through this gripe and you're not helping me here. We keep sidetracked.
But you didn't help yourself.
I'd like to help myself, but I'm a married spud. Dude, you know what I honestly feel like? I feel like I'm your ventriloquist dummy. That's what this whole skit feels like. This whole thing sounds like I'm like your puppet on your fucking lap. And it's like, I would, but I'm married. It's like I got a wooden jaw.
All right, I want to get to the great part. Okay, so, you know,
this question pops up. And I'm like, well, you self-employed. And I'm thinking to myself, I already have a claim. They know that I wasn't self-employed. I'm collecting on this claim from the last job I worked in. What the fuck is this question? So I start answering the questions like, it's talking about my original claim. And I put, no, I was not self-employed. Then it goes on, the next screen pops up and starts saying, what about your most recent employer? Well, that's different than the first question, which doesn't specify what they're talking about. But in this case, it's the same answer. I'm not self-employed. I am working for somebody. So it says, you know, what's their tax identification number? Whatever. Fine. I go to the next screen. And it starts asking me, what was your last day of work for this employer? Well, I'm not technically unemployed again, but I'm not fully employed either. You see my predicament? I'm not permanently employed. So I have an open claim with unemployment, which I'm entitled to collect on because I have not gotten a permanent full-time job. At the same time, I am not working. I'm working part-time, which is just enough to disqualify me from them paying me for anything. All right? So if anything, I'm their perfect fucking employee. Okay?
You're their snapping boy. Boy.
I'm doing everything. You know, to me, it's like they're getting me to look for a job. They're getting me to certify every week. But meanwhile, they're not paying me for anything that I'm doing. So I'm like, okay, what was my last day of work? Well, what the fuck does that mean? I'm starting next week. So then the question after that says, what is your presumed date back to work?
Well, I think those are just generic questions that they put in if they apply to you. It's like those are in your...
No, you cannot... These are must-answer questions.
Or you answer it, it does not apply.
No, not an option. Not an option. Okay, now we get to the question. It says, why were you let go from your last job? But they're talking about your current job.
So what you're saying is that their system doesn't realize that you're actually employed and working a claim as a partially employed individual.
Exactly. It won't acknowledge that you are part... it's not telling you what to do if you're partially employed. Mm. Okay? So you call unemployment on the phone and you get put on hold for eternity. So then you come across this thing on a website that says you can submit a question online. They ask you all the details. They ask you to make sure it's who you are, you know, to secure server and everything. Oh. And, you know, you just, whatever. You're like, okay. And it says, expect a reply in 2 days. So that was Monday. I put in, on Monday, this is my situation. How the fuck am I supposed to fill out this form so I can certify for my weekly benefits so I'm not in default? You at the time said that, well, they want you to fuck up your forms because then they can kick you out of this, out of collecting altogether. So it's in their best interest to make things hard for you, because that way you just say, this ain't worth it, I'm not making any money, I'll just drop the claim and be done with it. So now it's Wednesday. It's now 2 days after I submitted this question. Still no fucking reply. I submit the question again. Do you know when I got the answer to the Monday one?
What?
The following Tuesday.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Wednesday, I got the following Thursday.
Dude, it's a bureaucracy. This doesn't surprise
so
me. I understand your gripe, though.
So I ended up going in and filling it out with, I don't know why you're asking me this. I'm not told. I did not return to work full time. What the fuck? You know, what do you really want from me? And I submitted it that way, just so I can get the certification in.
Well, now, was this one of the weeks where you actually didn't even get a net?
I got no money.
Got no money.
I got no money. So this was all grief that I was getting, not to make a dime from them. So then the following week...
It's frustrating.
The following week, the same fucking thing pops up. And this time, I managed to get through to a human being on the phone who basically says that the reason you are not working full-time for your new employer is because they don't have enough work for you to be full-time. Hence, the answer you need to choose is lack of work.
Okay.
How hard would it have been for them to have just put that on the website, even in frequently asked questions?
Dude, it would probably have cost our...
The taxpayer.
Our beloved state government was also ultimately our money. It might have been an extra 15 seconds of programming time to put that pop-up in.
It's ridiculous. I'm like even LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn for job hunting. And, you know, I belong to all these groups, and they have job postings within the group that you're entitled to see. And it says business analyst needed. Doesn't say where. Doesn't say the skill set. You have to go into the actual post to see where they're looking. And then sometimes it doesn't even say there where the fuck they're looking. So you track it down by website and see where the website was built. You know? But I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, I thought all this shit on LinkedIn, the posts for jobs were free. I didn't know they had to pay by the fucking letter. That they can't write NYC or Alabama for all I give a shit. How hard is it to just make more than one word and say, you know, save everybody a lot of trouble? Time is short. I don't have to go into every post.
I think we just live in an attention deficit society where people try to take on so much, corporations, individuals, whatever, that the attention to detail is really gone. Like all, in both these cases, you're talking about like just a little extra effort to make a infinitely better experience.
Exactly. I answered an ad. It was in New York. Business analyst needed. SQL and some other program needed. So I replied, I send my resume, I get an instant reply saying, oh, by the way, the person also needs to know this and this. Do you have that? And I'm like, again, you couldn't have put this in your body of your fucking post to tell me and save me the trouble of sending you and that you need to send it back to me?
Well, I think the way also some companies look at it is it's probably one of the strongest employer markets in decades. So their feeling is, screw you.
Yeah, but it's more work for them.
Well,
because now she first had to get my resume. She had to maybe look at my resume to determine that I did not have, it was cloud programming.
Which is a very vague phrase.
Yeah,
which can be
I actually...
That doesn't mean any cloud programming. can mean one of 100 things.
I actually, it was, and some acronym. So I typed the two into Google, popped up something, skimmed it, and said, nope, don't have it. If I had this shit, wouldn't I have put it on my resume?
No, not necessarily, because it's like it's a very vague thing. You might, like cloud programming, if you knew Java, you know cloud programming.
Okay, well, again, it's something that, again, now it was work for her and work for me. Because now she needed to ask me if I had it, and she had to wait for my reply. Where had she simply just typed it in, she wouldn't have gotten an email from me to begin with. Or I would have simply sent her the email saying, I've got this and this, but not that. And she could have decided to contact me or not after that.
I mean, it's just
fucking lazy.
I mean, are people getting lazier? Is technology making people, they can hide behind it and be lazier? Because, I mean, one question I have is, have things always been this way? Do they go through periods of time this way? Or you're just noticing it now because more of this stuff is happening to you personally?
Well, obviously it has to be because it's happening to me personally. If it's not happening to me personally, then it's peripheral and it doesn't apply, and I'm not noticing it at all.
Like, the reality is, we talked about this before, when something does not happen to you, it's a rare person that actually really has strong empathy for it. I mean, some people do, but, you know, when 3,000 people perished in New York City, it was like this horrible, terrible thing, which it was. The 250,000 people perish in the, you know, in the tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
We felt bad for a few days, but it was like, it doesn't really affect us.
Yeah.
It didn't, like, nothing in the tsunami in not one way, shape, or form personally affected your quality of life at all.
No.
It had nothing to do with it at all.
No, and it's unfortunate, but even Oklahoma City. Okay.
Or even a hurricane.
That was domestic. We're not even talking about another country.
Or New Orleans, or a hurricane that hits Miami. It's just like, when it happens to us. You know, but that's just, I think.
But that's human nature, too. It's like, if it's outside of your relevant sphere, it doesn't apply, and then you'll have a little bit of sympathy, but you definitely won't have empathy.
Well, that's really about survival. It's like, if you really were constantly thinking about everything all the time, you couldn't handle it.
I mean,
you want to be a guy? You can't handle being a guy.
I personally don't even want to listen to the news.
I don't like to listen to the news because, for me, I'm going to find anything that's good or bad, I'm going to find out about anyway. And I don't really see much value in listening to the news. I mean, at the end of the cast, and this is where the internet is really putting a lot of traditional media sources out of business, I won't read a newspaper cover to cover. I don't read a newspaper at all. I won't really listen to newscasts that much either. Because in the end, everything that I get from Diane Sawyer or Nightly News, I can get from CNN in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I can go to the page, boom, boom, there's this, boom.
Yeah.
So.
Now, the real question is, now that we're giving up these traditional sources, what are we doing with our time that we're still book solid?
Well, some people aren't book solid. I mean, I'm not.
You know, I really wish that I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I said, you know, my wife and I have 1 hour a day to watch TV.
Right, and your kids probably want to watch something else.
That's it. No, we need to get our kids in bed so we can have that 1 hour. So every minute that our kids aren't sleeping, that cuts into our one fucking hour.
You want to know something, though, bro? Everything in life that's worthwhile takes work and effort. So, I mean, the reality is, if your kids end up treating you the way you treat your dad, it will all be worth it.
That's true. But you can't bank on that either.
It's true, dude. Like, you know, the fact, all the times you've been there to listen to my garbage and just there, you know, to help out if I really needed it. We've known each other now. It's
2003, dude.
Right, so this is like
8 years.
8 years. I mean, even that, in modern society, that's a long time to actually have a relationship. And I seem to recall we've had one or two disagreements. We've never. What's amazing is,
like you said, you were smart and I disagreed.
No, it wasn't that. It was when I was like you, when I was drinking and smoking a lot of weed,
yeah.
And I was just so deficit attention, you know, minused. Yeah, that I could, I could, I had no bandwidth for you at all, and I was always talking over you.
I never got over it.
So I mean, but I mean, the reality, but we haven't really ever had.
And then we had the intervention.
Well, we've never really had a screaming match, you know. Dude, the intervention.
You know, like,
that's a, you know, that's the funny thing, dude. My going into the, my going into, you know, fellowship was a.
Did you have to get a ring?
It was really anticlimactic,
and
dude.
One ring to rule them all.
I just walked into one of their rooms and I was like, all right, you know, this is good.
What, there was no hobbits?
No. Although no I did get coins when I stayed sober for 3 months, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. And
can you melt them and make a ring with power?
Well, they actually, these actually have power too. With these coins that I've gotten from AA, if anyone ever...
Did they realize when they called it the fellowship that they would be compared to...
Well, this is what happens, dude. Anyone who disrespects me or does something bad to me because of those coins, they will become an alcoholic. So, dude, if you disrespect me, you're going to become an alcoholic. And then we can go to meetings together. Because
I told you, you're screwed.
No, I would
you're
make you, dude.
Because
dude.
I'm not coming to the city to go to the meetings.
No, dude, I would just...
I'm going to Michigan to the fucking meetings.
Dude, I would get inside your head and I would convince...
And get inside my head.
I would convince you, I would convince you that recovery in your neighborhood cannot work.
Yeah, but
actually, I wouldn't do that.
No, yeah, for starters...
Maybe I would. I don't know.
That's not
very sober, though.
I don't have a drinking problem. I drink. I get drunk. I fall down. There's no problem. But I'm bump. That was not the joke of the week, by the way.
Well, you don't really... Dude, it's just like... You so are not like an alcoholic. And you know? I mean, it's like... When you have a crisis, you're really upset.
I get fat.
Actually, it's probably... Your default action is to use food.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the beer is kind of like a secondary thought. Like, if you had a really bad day, you wouldn't mind having one. But it's not sort of like, you know...
I have never had a bad day where I had to stop at the store and get a six-pack. Never. If there was beer in the house, I would drink it. But...
You had to stop and get a triple brownie, Sunday deluxe. But
every time I've ever drank... Anytime I've had beer in the house has been on good days where it was just like, hey, I saw it in the store and I picked it up.
Dude, I don't even think you really use food for emotional reasons. I just think you like to eat.
Well, no, there's definitely like a... when you're depressed, you feel empty. And there's a psychological thing that you could fill yourself up and feel less empty with food. That's a fact.
Dude, that's logical. But also, more importantly, we still have time to actually pull... We can pull out the drum set for Saturday today.
Yeah.
And we could actually do like a little mini set.
Now that we don't have to hear the door.
Right, we don't have to hear the door. Well, it is a little scary, which we can talk about, you know, like as we're getting towards the conclusion of the podcast, that the FedEx guy, I've never seen that. I don't think I've seen that guy before. Maybe I saw him like when he delivered 2 days ago. So I guess if he saw me, if he knew that I lived here, it's legitimate.
Well, how detailed was your signature on their tablet?
Not really. I think I sign it differently every time.
Well, I guess the real issue is whether or not you'd follow up and say you never got the package. That's the question. In which case, which is something you obviously won't do.
Well, that doesn't work.
But it is a little scary that he gave it to you without asking you to open the door. I mean, it's obvious that it was you, because what is the odds of somebody sitting here knowing...
Well, it's social engineering, too. You could do that. Think about that, dude. So, I know that the guy over there is going to get a package, and I know that I want to steal it.
No.
So, I just sit there, and I'm like, either give it to me, or
yeah,
I'm
but
take
you. But again, it's the odds... In other words, crime and opportunity. The odds that somebody would have witnessed the FedEx guy coming and unable to deliver the package. How long was the little note on the door that said it was going to be re-delivered?
Well, that's the other thing. The note on that door tells people, anyone who walks by my door
knows
that I'm expecting something.
No, exactly.
Not that there's no one home, but that I'm expecting something.
So then, now they have to perch themselves on your doorstep all day to intercept that package.
Right, which is going to cause this, because I'll pop out once or twice a bit. It's 4 hours later, dude. Why are you still sitting there?
Exactly, especially when you're expecting a package.
It's like, oh, wait, let me take your picture and see your, take a picture of your driver's license.
Exactly.
So when you steal my shit, I can have you arrested.
Exactly. It's like, dude, I'm expecting the package, and you're sitting here is a little uneasy. Can you move elsewhere? Really? That's, I mean, if I came out and I was expecting a package and I saw somebody perched on my doorstep, I would definitely be suspicious.
Although, on the other hand, our outstanding citizen of the week goes to my neighbor Danny, who lives across the street, because I told him my whole story about, like, people not knocking on the door, and then I gave him, like, the three type of delivery guys. The one guy who's just overwhelmed and sloppy, but it's not that he doesn't care. Type two actually cares. Type 3 is freaking outstanding, but he's so good at his job, he ends up in management and off the streets. So I hear this knock on my door, and I get all excited. I'm like, oh, it's here. Dude, you know what I'm getting excited about? A memory upgrade and a storage unit.
Dude, it's all about the storage.
All about the storage. I open
you
the door.
You can never have enough space.
I open the door, and Danny's...
I can attest to this on my piece of shit C drive.
Well, I'll tell you about it when we get out of the podcast. I don't want to bore the listeners with it, but it's a really cool unit. It's very cool. But, so he's like, you know what?
So the post office... me with it.
Well, that doesn't matter. But he's like, you know, he's like, the post office guy was just here, and he's over there. And he left a little paper thing. So I go get it, and it was actually something for my parents. My dad's sugar tea, so it's a good thing I got it. So the guy really helped me out, because the post guy came to our door and went like this. He didn't knock. It says knock. That's a knock. He went like this.
He didn't want to be bothered.
Well, he was an older guy. And you know what, man? If I did this, if I delivered stuff all day long, and I've got gray hair and I'm tired, I mean, I almost, it's like when I see someone like that, I almost, like a young kid that's energetic, like the guy who delivered the mail the second time, someone who's old, tired, and gray, who's hauling shit around all day, I almost can't be, you know, it's like...
Yeah, but it's unfortunately that in our society, people this age have to work till this age to make ends meet.
Yeah.
I'll probably be one of those people, too. With all of my bouts of unemployment, I would probably be working when I'm 70.
Well, actually, just so you know, a postal worker who works 20 years gets one of the better retirements
is. That's true. That's definitely true.
If they don't get fired, because now the post office wants to fire 120,000 postal workers.
Now, with email, they took a big beating. I mean, it's not even now with email. Email's been around 10 years or so.
Oh, you're saying, like, their thinking is... We have much more capacity than we're actually using. We don't need you guys.
It's how much hard copy mail is, you know, I mean, every bank is asking, every place is asking you to go e-statement. Because it isn't even, fuck them saving money on postage. It's them saving the environment. Less paper, less waste.
Well, and also saving somebody's stuff, putting it out and stuffing it in the envelope.
Well, that's all automated now. You're going to tell me a credit card company has somebody physically stuffing them? Oh, yeah. It's all automated. It's like the shit gets printed, it gets folded, it gets stuffed into an envelope, it gets sealed, it gets stamped, it gets gone.
But, dude, I'm impressed, you know, that this neighbor that I didn't know so well, but hopefully I will now get to know better because of his meritorious deed. I mean, that gives me hope that, you know, that there are some people who still care.
Well, my point is, and I don't remember what it was, because we sidetracked this thing.
You might not be done griping yet, either.
Oh, I'm definitely not done griping.
Keep going, dude.
But actually, I think we do need to have an underachiever of the week. And since it has been so long since we have done this, okay, I have got two nominees.
I have one.
Okay, so since it's been so long, we can even discuss all of them. Who is your nominee?
The federal government for almost defaulting on our debt.
That's a valid underachieving. Okay, mine. A, yesterday's earthquake. I shouldn't say yesterday because when this comes out, it will not be tomorrow. It won't be today. So
The devastation
of our 5.8 Virginia Richter scale earthquake.
And we got laughed at by the Californians. They're like, you guys are pussies.
What kind of 5.8 fucking earthquake can't knock down a building?
Oh, you're saying the earthquake itself is underachieving?
Yes.
It did do more damage.
It's 5.8 and didn't do anything.
Dude, I don't know if it's a good idea.
It's like, honestly, my coworker thought somebody was playing a joke and shaking her chair. I thought I ate something poor at lunch and it was my stomach.
Won't be the first time.
Okay. They evacuated my building. I'm out on the island, and we emptied out.
Evacuate.
We ran into the freaking parking lot. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? I'm like, I can't believe that was an earthquake. I mean, I'm impressed that it went from there all the way to fucking Maine. But in terms of devastation, it's still a 5.8 earthquake.
Look what that truck looks like on the line. Okay, so that's one. What's the other one?
The other one is, this is a little retro now because it's been so long. So I'd really have to say underachiever of the year.
Okay.
Charlie Sheen.
Okay, that's our winner, right? Dude, I'm sorry. You know, he beats out the federal government. He beats out the earthquake. Yeah. Charlie, baby, you are the underachiever of the year.
Yes.
And you actually just got a job. Dude, that's ridiculous. Okay, back to griping.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the season premiere when they show his car going off a cliff. And they want to make sure he doesn't come back.
He's in one season, one episode.
No, he's not in it at all. They just show his car going off a cliff.
Oh, really?
That's what they're going to kill him off. They don't want to see him ever again.
2.5 Men?
Yep. They got Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, it's going to be 1.5 Men.
So there's a TV show that I watch with the kids called Mad TV, based on the magazine.
Uh-huh.
And they have Ashton Kutcher showing up for the first day of work on the set of 2.5 Men. And he's all by himself. And John Cryer, who's the other lead, comes out. He goes, dude, you really thought we were giving you this part? You've been punked.
That's funny.
Okay, on that note, goodbye.
5, 4, 3. This podcast will self-destruct in 2 more seconds. 2.